Bibles, please, for our first reading to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me the 2 talents, or 2 talents. Behold, I have gained other 2 talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hadst not sown, and gathering where thou hadst not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So here in chapter 25, there are three different parables, and each of the parables has a similar teaching to it. When we think about the interpretation of parables, the traps that are there in parabolic interpretation are many, and many have fallen in them. What is necessary when we look at a parable is to figure out, first of all, what the main teaching of that parable is. There is one particular truth that is being taught in that parable, and all and everything else in the parable is there incidentally to support the one truth. That is indeed the tried and true, the reformed hermeneutical way of understanding parabolic literature. And it is when we get into trouble is when we go off and try to peg every particular in the parable in such a way that we cannot understand everything except that it fit into the parable, and it, one thing is teaching this and another thing is teaching that and so on. Like, you know, what is the oil? What does the oil represent in the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins? The answer to that question, true and hermeneutically, is who cares? Because there's another truth being taught in that parable of which the oil is only incidental. Okay, so when we take a look at these three parables in chapter 25, we have all three of them teaching the same truth. And the same truth that they are teaching is that those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who are looking for his coming, will live according to that looking. They are walking through these days with an eye toward what is coming, and they have not found their rest, their home, their completeness in these days. Now, if we come to the parables, those three parables, with that in mind, we're going to see how clearly that is taught in all three of those parables. Okay, so he gave them three parables to teach them the same truth. And here's the truth, dear Christian. You claim, you profess to love and to follow, to obey and to cherish Jesus Christ, and that he is your Savior and your Lord. The question that we must ask pertaining to that is, how then do we live that evidences that particular profession? There were 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them were prepared to meet their Lord at any moment. 5 of them were not. 5 of them were ready at the call to go out and to be taken in to the bridegroom. They were ready. They were ready at any second to do that. They planned ahead. They thought, this is not the only life there is. Let's take oil in our lamps. Oil is incidental to the thought that they were living with the end in mind. There were 5 others that had the same profession. They were along with the other 5 wise virgins. They heard the same call. They even had the same lamps. But the difference between them is the second 5 did not plan, did not think, did not prepare for that call when it came to go out and to be with their bridegroom. And so they said to the first 5, give us some oil out of your lamps. And the first 5 said, we cannot, because there's not enough oil in our lamps for yours and ours. And so whatever it is that we have stored up for ourselves cannot be shared. This is indeed something that each of us must do individually for ourselves. I cannot believe in Christ for you, and you cannot believe in Christ for me. I cannot live as one with the end in mind for myself and you, and you cannot do that for me. Either we are ordering our lives in such a way in this world as it is evident that we are preparing for the next world, or we're not. Either we're living with an eye that we will one day stand before the Lord and give account of what we've done, or we're not. And so that's the distinction between the two virgins, the two groups of virgins. The one knew that the bridegroom would come and prepared for that day by storing up oil for their lamps. The others professed that they would be ready when he came, but did nothing to prepare for that readiness. And so their unbelief is proved out contrary to their profession. In the second parable, we have the 3 men that are given 3 different amounts of treasure with which to trade. There's one who has given 5, and they're called talents here. A talent is a weight of a precious metal, probably silver. 5 talents given to him. And so he takes and he works with those 5 talents that he's given and gets 5 more. There's another that has 2 talents, and he works with those 2 talents and he gains 2 more. Then there's a third man, and he's given 1 talent. And he takes that 1 talent and does nothing. He lives as if his Lord will never return. He hides it in the earth. And his profession upon the Lord's return is what? Well, I hid it in the earth so I could give it back to you. Well, that's obviously a faithless response. But did you notice that there is no difference between the 2, the 5 and the 2? There's no difference between them in the praise of their Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. I will make thee Lord over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's said to them both. Because it doesn't matter. The Lord gives us the opportunities that we have to serve him. Whether he gives us many or whether he gives us few, he calls upon us to live as if there will be a day when we will give an account to him what we've done with what he's given us. Are we living according to that day? There were 2 in that second parable that did, and a 3rd that did not. And so he said, well, here's your talent. I'm giving it back to you. And so notice that he did not anticipate truly that his Lord would come and require back from him what he had given him and expect some increase, some usefulness on what he had given him. He hid it in the earth. Well, that may mean that he invested all that the Lord had given him only for this world's sake. May mean that. And so what did he have to give when the Lord came back? Nothing. And notice then he is treated as the faithless one and he is cast into outer darkness. His talent was taken from him and given to him that had ten. Then we have the third parable. And again, it's teaching the same thing. It's the same basic truth that we order our lives in this life because we will be brought before the judge at the end of days. And here the judgment is more explicit, if you will. When the Son of Man comes and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne of his glory and he will divide the nations before him as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left, and he will turn to those on the right and he will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then he tells them what they did. And what did they do? They behaved themselves as those who were anticipating being with Christ forever, standing before him in the judgment, and then being with Christ forever. Because whenever one of Christ's people came to them with a need, they met it. We are of the same profession of faith. We have the same Lord. You can have whatever you need. They lived as those who understood what the later end of their lives would bring when they would stand before the Lord. And so, because they did so, because their faith had feet to it and was real in this world, they were received. Then there were others. And they had the same profession, didn't they? They said, "Lord, Lord, when saw we thee one way or the other?" They're like those men in Matthew 7, right? "Lord, Lord." And Jesus says to them what? "Well, I was hungry, naked. I was in need. I was in prison. I was sick. You never came to me. You never helped me." And they say, "Well, when did all of that happen?" And of course, then Christ makes it known to them that if you've not done it unto the least of these, you've not done it unto me. And so they lived then as those who had a greater stake in themselves than they did in the Lord, although they had a profession that may have been contrary to that. So you can see then that these three parables are teaching essentially the one truth. And here's the truth. How do you live, brothers and sisters? Do you live in a way that is commensurate with your profession of faith in Christ? Or do you live in a way that is contrary to the profession of a faith in Christ? The virgins, the servants, and those sheep and goats, they are all called at the last. And they will give account. They do give account. So will we. If you believe that, then you'll order your lives in this world, whether it has to do with ministering to the afflicted of Christ's flock, with the riches and other talents, time and treasure that the Lord has given you, whether or not you are prepared and living as those prepared to meet your Lord in the three parables. If you believe in him, you will. And if you don't, you won't. And there are, I believe, and I say this with great grief, I take no satisfaction in saying it, but there are many, as there have been in every age of the church, that are professors only. And as professors only, they live without much difference, without a hair's breadth difference between the way that others live who have no profession. Well, I don't know who's going to rise and who's going to fall in the judgment day. But I know that the Bible has been very clear that there is such a thing as faith in Christ, and that the faith that Christ gives, which indeed alone justifies, is never alone. That there is a life that follows that faith. There is what we might call a life of faith. So close is that life of faith related to faith itself that often faith is is the word that is used for faith's effect in Scripture. Now that's an important point that I don't think we can overlook. Remember when we were studying what it meant to have saving faith in Christ? We looked at Luke 17, and we'll close with this. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus says, you need to be forgiving. And Peter says, okay, I'll be forgiving. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand, Peter. Seven times if your brother comes to you, you need to forgive. This is not Matthew 18 where he says 70 times seven. And then the apostles say to him, when Jesus tells them what true forgiveness looks like, what true faithful forgiveness looks like, they say to him, Lord, increase our faith. They don't say increase our forgiveness. They don't say increase our ability to overlook faults. They say, Lord, increase our faith. Because sometimes in Scripture, faith's effects are spoken of as faith itself. So closely is the life of faith associated with faith itself. That's the truth being taught in Matthew chapter 25. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.